today I'm very excited to be bringing the word of God because I know that whatever that God has laid in my heart today, it is specially for every single one of us. Turn to your neighbor and say, God is in the building. That's right, God is in the building. And we'll be talking about the topic of rebuilding. Everybody say rebuilding. And in the last 2 weeks, Pastor Christine shared a powerful message on rebuilding. And I'm going to build upon her message because we believe together with the pastoral team that this is the season that God is rebuilding His church. Amen. And therefore, I don't want to waste any more time. Let's go straight into the Word of God. My text will be taken from Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 29. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 29. If you have your Bible, you can whip it out and turn it. If you have your electronic Bible, you can take it out as well. If not, you can look at the screen. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 29, it says, therefore, whoever hears this saying of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. Everybody say, on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew. I didn't even know that yesterday, Pastor Gudang, you know, kena gudang, you know. Just now, Pastor Rajan said the rains came, and so prophetic. The rains descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Everybody say, on the rock. But everyone who hears this saying of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. And so it was when Jesus ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Or in other words, as not as the teachers of the law. If I can entitle my message this evening, it will be building firm foundations. Building firm foundations. Solomon tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 to 3, he says, to everything there is a season. To anything under the sun, as long as we are living, as long as we are breathing, as long as we are alive, to everything there is a season. A time for every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, and a time to heal, and a time to break down, and a time to build up. I love this part where lastly it says a time to build up. Everybody say build up. And I strongly believe that God is building up His church. And when I say God is building up His church, I'm not talking about the four walls of this church. I'm not talking about the new building when we move into it and everybody's going to be excited. I'm not talking about the building of the church of God. I'm talking about the church of God in the building that He is going to rebuild. God is building His church. He is building our hearts, and He's preparing every single one of us for the coming of the Lord. He's preparing us. He's preparing His bride for what's about to come. So this evening, I want you to raise your expectation. I want you to raise your expectation knowing, not just thinking, knowing that when God is moving, when God is in the midst of us, there must be something that has to be progressing. Things that were stuck must be unstuck, because that is the progression of the Lord. He moves us from glory to glory, from faith to faith. That's why in His word, He said that my latter glory will be greater than my former glory. So my friends, Church of God, Calvary City Church, you are in the midst of the process and the progress of moving into the latter glory of God. Can I hear an amen, please, in this place? Amen. And I feel like preaching today. How many of you feel like hearing today? Can I raise your hand and wave at me? I'm excited to be bringing the Word of God, because whenever I talk about the Word of God, I'm proclaiming His promises. I'm proclaiming the times and the season of the Lord into existence on earth as it is in heaven. Everybody say heaven. With so many things that's happening around us, with wars and rumors of wars, with chaos and conditions that are happening around us, surrounding us, outbreaks of viruses and illnesses. You know, sometimes we stop and pause for a moment and we think that, oh my God, you know, the enemy is throwing out and overpowering the people, you know. And sometimes we need to understand this, as real as the power of darkness it may seem to us, so is the power of God. So is the power of God. Because every single one of us right now, we are living in the last days. Whether you believe it or not, whether you read upon it or not, whether you know it or not, we are living in the last days. And in the last days, let me tell you something, church. In the last days, he said that in his word, he will pour out his spirit upon all flesh. So let me tell you something, church. Get ready, get ready, get prepared. Get prepared for the progress and the process of the Lord. Because there's going to be a revival. Not just a revival. There's going to be a greater revival, a greater move of God, a greater impartation of the Lord, a greater breakthrough from the Lord. And I believe that Calvary City Church and every single one of you sitting here in this place, you will receive the greater manifestation of the glory of the Lord upon your lives and upon your loved ones and upon your family. And all those that wants to receive it, say amen. The greater glory of God, the greater anointing of God is given to us and is promised unto us as we believe and as we build our house and build our life on firm foundation. Everybody say firm foundation. John chapter 10 verse 10. John chapter 10 verse 10. It says that the thief does not come to kill, steal, and destroy. The thief only comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But God. Everybody say, but God. But God came to give you life and life more abundantly. So let me tell you something. If the situation that you're going through right now, if the circumstances that you're going through right now is not the best, let me tell you something. Because your best is yet to come. If your best has not come yet, it is not the end. Can I hear an amen in this place? We are living in the times where we will see the greater move of God. And as the church of God, we need to gear up and we need to prepare for what he's about to do. That is his promises. If your best has yet to come, don't give up. If your healing has not taken place, don't give up. If your breakthroughs have not taken place, don't give up. Continue to hold on to the word of God. Continue to hold on to the promises of God, because God will never fail. Man may fail at times, but God will never fail even a single time. That is the God that we serve. And that's why I'm excited to be bringing the word of God. And that's why you are excited to be receiving the word of God. Because we are not just hearing some stories and hearing some words and on a Saturday and on a Sunday and then go home, because we are believing that as we are sitting here receiving the word of God, these words are going to build us up on the solid foundation that when we move out from this place, we will walk according to the will and the plan of God, and we will see the greater manifestation of the glory of God in our lives. That is the promises of God for his people. That is the promises of God for his children. That's why Philippians chapter 1 verse 6, he says, being confident of this very thing. If you are not confident of what your future may hold, if you're not confident what the doctor will say when you go for your second checkup, if you're not confident of how your finance is going to turn out at the end of the month, church, I want you to hold on to this verse very, very strongly. Philippians chapter 1 verse 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work, it is not you, my friend, that began the good work, it is he that began a good work. And if it's he that began a good work, he will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Not you. Turn to your neighbor and say, not you. Turn to your another neighbor and say, he's talking about you too. Not you. Exactly, not you. It is not because of your excellence, not because of your works, but it is because of what He has done. He started the work and He will finish the work. And you, my friend, you are in the process and you are in the progress, and you just have to trust the Lord and stick to it, because there is the greater miracle, greater breakthrough at the end of the day. Can I hear an amen, please? So no matter what the enemy has stolen from you from the past years, from the past month or the past weeks, whether it's your finances, whether it's your health, whether it's relationship, whether it's even your confidence or your hope, let me tell you something today. Now, everybody saying now. Now it is the time to take it back. Now it's time to go into the enemy's territory and take back what belongs to you. Now it is the time to be on the offense and no longer be sitting down and just praying and say, God, I hope that you'll move. Now is the time to be on the offense and take back what belongs to you, because we no longer need to be afraid or fearful, because in 1 John chapter 4 verse 4, he says, greater is He who is in you than he is in the world. And He, my friend, is living inside of every single one of you in this place. Whether you came here feeling burdened, whether you came here feeling good or bad, no matter how your week has been, whether you experienced God during the worship just now, it doesn't matter. Let me tell you something. He says, greater is He who is in you than He is in the world. That means that His plan for you is not determined or decided by your actions or your behavior or your strength. That's a good word. Your talents and your gifts is never dependent on you. The plans of God is always dependent on the nature of God. That is why we always say, God is good. God is good. Come on. God is good. And all the time, God is good. It is not just sometimes. When I'm feeling it, you know, some of us, we say, we come to church, oh, today's worship very good. I feel the presence of God. No, not when you feel the presence of God. Even when you don't feel the presence of God, He is still good. Whether you receive your breakthrough or not, He is still good. Whether your healing has already taken place or not, He is still good. Because that is the nature of God. And the nature of God is never dependent on you. Therefore, the kindness and the goodness of God on your life is solely dependent on what He has done on the cross for you and I. Amen? I'm catching my breath. Yeah, breathe. Don't breathe in Colin Kennedy. Amen. God is building His church. And now is the time and season for you and I, church, to start rebuilding our lives upon this firm foundation. Upon a foundation that is unshakable. No matter the wind blows, or the rain falls, or the storm comes, we will still stand strong. We will still stand unshakable. Now, let's come back to Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 29. I'm getting ahead of myself. He says, therefore, whoever hears this saying of mine, does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears this saying of mine, does not do them, be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. On the sand, and the rains descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was his fall. So, what does Matthew chapter 7 is talking about? There's two people with two houses, went through the exact same rain, went through the exact same flood, went through the exact same storm. But both of these people, both of the houses came out with two different outcomes. One was built on the rock and one was built on the sand. But did you realize something, church? Did you realize that one that built on the rock, the foundation of the house was still standing strong, even the rain or winds or flood came? But the other, okay, catch this. The other, it didn't just say that when he built his house on the sand, when the rain came, the wind blew, and the flood came, the house tumbled. It didn't just say tumble. It didn't just say that the house fell. In fact, he added another sentence right behind it. He says, great was its fall. Can we show that verse? He says, great was its fall. It's as when I was reading this, I was like, you know, we can just stop there when he says that beat on the house and it fell. You know, we can just stop it there. But why? Why does the word of God specifically added that sentence, and great was its fall? It didn't just tumble. It crumbled. It was basically demolished. Everybody say demolished. Here's the thing that when we are reading these passages of scripture, church, do you realize that actually both of these men, both of these people actually heard the voice of God? Both of them heard the voice of God. It's not as if one heard and that's why he went on built on the rock, and then the other didn't hear, that's why he built on sand. No, both of them heard the voice of the Lord. But here's the difference, church. Here's the difference. One of them chose to obey it, and the other chose to ignore. That is the difference among them. And how many of you know that it's good to hear the voice of the Lord, but it's also important for us to obey the voice of God? Every one of us can hear the voice of God. How many of you cannot hear the voice of God? Can I just show a wave of hand? Praise the Lord. Every single one of us can hear the voice of God. If you cannot, if you're in Antioch Hall and you're scared to lift up your hands, later come forward. We will pray for you and you will hear the voice of God. But every single one of us, majority of us, we can hear the voice of God. But that's not the question. That's not the problem. The problem is this. When we hear the voice of the Lord, what do we do with the voice of the Lord? What do we do when we hear the voice of the Lord? Because it's not just enough to hear the voice of God. It is also important, in fact, more important, after hearing the voice of God, we need to act upon the voice of God. We need to obey the voice of God. And some of us, we're very smart. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are smart. We are very smart. There is a difference between immediate obedience and delayed obedience. Some of us say, okay, God, all right, you told me this, but not today, lah. Not today, God, I tired, lah. You asked me to spend time with you, I tired, lah, today. You know, my week very busy, lah. You know, I did this, I did that. In the morning, I need to go and go out for grocery shopping, some more this and that, this and that. You will give so many reasons and excuses and tell God that, God, I will obey you, just not now. I will obey you, but just not now. But there is a difference between immediate obedience and delayed obedience. When you delay the voice of God in doing what He has called you to do, you are missing out on the purpose and the plan of God in that moment. That is why it's so important that we don't have delayed obedience. You will still see your miracle, but probably not at the present moment. And that is why we need to have immediate obedience. When we hear the voice of God, we need to immediately act upon it. Turn to your neighbor and say, immediately. Immediately. In James chapter 2, it says that faith without works is dead. If we don't put the word of God into practice, we will not be able to see the results and the fruits of all those who labor and build their lives upon this firm foundation. We won't be able to see the outcome and the fruits of those who build their lives upon this solid rock. The passage of scripture says, "For the house is founded on the rock." This brings me to a series of questions when I'm reading it. Are our lives founded on the rock? Are our marriages and relationships founded on the rock? Are our careers and company founded on the rock? Because let me tell you something. The rain will fall. The wind will blow. The storm will come. But if your life is founded on the rock, you will be standing strong. You will be standing strong. And there is absolutely no way that we can stop the rain from falling. We don't have the power and authority to stop the rain from falling. The rain will come. Situations will happen in your life. God didn't promise you a storm-free life. The rain will come. The wind will blow. The flood will come. But what we do with our lives is on us. It's not on God. It's on us. And God has taught us to build our lives according to His word, that we are not just called to be the hearers of the word, but also be the doers of the word. God didn't promise us a storm-free life. But He did promise us this. If we build our life upon this solid foundation, our life will be storm-proof. Can everybody say storm-proof? Our lives are not storm-free, but we can be storm-proof. We can be storm-proof. Can I hear an amen, please? So don't wait for things to start crashing down. Only we start building our lives upon the rock. Many a times, right, we wait for something to happen in our lives. Then only we want to do something about it. You know? I want to talk about the Malaysia government, but I think I better not. But we always want to wait for something to happen, only we only take action. Somehow it's a very bad mentality, but many of us does it, including me. Including me. But church, let me encourage you this. That is not the mentality of God. That is not what God has called us to do. We are not called to build our lives only when the situation and the circumstances in our life has gone south. The storms in our lives are meant to be indicators of the integrity of the structure and the foundations of a house. It's meant to be an indicator, not an instructor. Storms are meant to be indicators, not instructors. And I want you to realize this. The house that was built on solid rock, the verse clearly tells us that they built the house before the rain came, before the storm came, before the flood came. Our lives should not be built only when situations or circumstances take place. Because it is only in the storm that our foundations and our structure can be tested. Because when the storm doesn't come, when rain doesn't come, when flood doesn't come, there is nothing to test. Everybody is having a good day. Everybody is having a good day. But only when things go south, only then we will realize how strong our foundation is. Can I hear an amen, please? We are called to build our lives before the storm, not after the storm. And sometimes we need to realize this, church. We need to realize this, that it is sometimes not the enemy that sends the storm. Sometimes it is God Himself that sends the storm. How do I know this? Here's how I know. Because the Word of God clearly tells us, all right? He clearly tells us in the same scripture, okay? I'm just going to go on this scripture. Both of that man who hears the word of God and put into practice went through the same exact storm. The man that built his house upon the rock went through the exact same situation as the man that built his house on the sand. So I know for sure, even for those who hear the word of the Lord and obeys the word of God, they will still go through storm. They will still be in the storm. But can I encourage you right now, church? If you're going through some storms right now, if you're going through some difficulties and challenges right now and you feel like giving up, I want you to know that those storms were never placed in your life to break you down. Those storms that were placed in your life were never meant to break you down. It was always meant to build you up. Storms are not to break you. They're meant to build you. So every time when you're going through a tough situation, you're going through some difficult circumstances, quit asking the Lord to deliver you. Lord, deliver me from the storm. But rather realize that in the storm itself, the Lord is inviting you. He's extending an invitation to every single one of us to build our lives stronger in a firmer foundation which can only be found in Christ Jesus. Can I hear an amen? He who brings you to it will build you up for it, and He will bring you through it. Can I hear an amen, please? Church, it's time for us to rebuild our lives according to the Word of God. It's time to rebuild our lives according to the integrity that God has meant for us. Let us not just be the hearers of the Word, but let us start applying the Word of God. Let's start applying whatever pastors have preached. Let us apply what God has taught us, and let's start building our foundation on a solid rock. It's important. It's important to build a firm foundation on Him. But on the other note, it is also important for us to rebuild our lives and to build His church. It's important to rebuild our lives and also to build the church of God. In Ephesians, Paul tells us that the church was given various gifts. God has given every single one of us different gifts. I may have the gift of singing or probably playing the guitar, and I have a very strong administrative gift. If you do not know, I have a very strong administrative gift. I love administrative stuff. Okay, but probably standing here is a different story. But I love administrative stuff. And every single one of us here, we have a different gift. And I love what Uncle Vincent said just now. If you have a smile, if you have a smile, you are called to be in the Connectors ministry. Because your smile can bring an encounter to somebody. Your smile, just one smile, a look on your face can bring somebody into the encounter and the embrace of God. Don't you think that that is also a gift? And every single one of us were given various gifts, different gifts. And therefore, we today, even as, you know, just now they made an announcement that for us to come serve the church, to serve in the various ministry, every single one of us, we have different gifts to start serving in the house of God. Church, can we start rebuilding the house of God? Because this is the last days. We want to see greater revival taking place. We want to see greater breakthrough taking place. We want to see the greater glory of God taking place. Church, you have to put your hands deep into the plow, because when you put your hands deep into the plow together as a family, as one, God can move through us. God can move through us, to us, and from us. And that's why we need to put our hands into the plow together. This church is not just Pastor Rajan's church. This church is not Pastor Betty's church. This church is my church, and this is your church. So let us not have that mentality that we are visitors in this place. But rather, every single one of us sitting here right now in Antioch Court and all those watching online, you are actually owners of this place. You're not visitors. You're owners. So if you are an owner, you got to start putting your hand into the plow and start building the house of God. Can I hear an amen, please? Let us play our part. When we play our part, God will play His part. No matter what your gifts and your talents are, God can use you. No matter how young or how old you are, God can use you. No matter how small or how big you are, God can use you. Just now, Pastor Rajan made a joke about Samji. God used him to lead a powerful worship today. Come on, Samji, where are you? Oh, he's there, okay. He cannot escape. God can use you no matter how you look, no matter how big or how small or how tall or how short you are. Last time when I was in school, people always call me Short Derek. Short Derek. I'm like, you can call me all you want, but I'm the one that's called by God. Haha, because I know my identity. So here's my question, church. Do you know your identity in the house of the Lord? Do you know your identity? I may be short. Who cares, my friend? My spirit is taller than so many of them. It's never about the size. It's never about how you look. It's not about the gifts and the talents that you have. Every single one of us can serve. Can serve God. Short, what? Yeah, I'm short and tall. Who cares, man? I'm standing here preaching the Word of God. And I know when I preach the Word of God, the presence of God moves. That's my confidence. Because my confidence is not found in me. If my confidence is found in me, I probably would have resigned and left. But my confidence is found in Him. My gifts and my talents were given by Him. That's why I chose to quit my job as to serve the house of God. But I'm not asking you to quit your job. Don't come after me, man. Don't come after me and say, Pastor Derek asked me to quit my job. No, please don't. No, I'm almost done with my message here. God, He's building His church. And let me tell you something. The gates of hell will not prevail. The gates of hell will not prevail. Somehow, church, if this message is stirring something inside of you, is speaking and ministering something inside of you, and it's causing you to want to put your hands in the plow, church, I want to speak to you. Because that is what God is doing in your life. He's urging you. He's urging every single one of you. Don't just be the hearers of the word, but also be doers of the word. Let us not delay our obedience. Some of us here, we have a full-time calling. But then we say, God, you know, I will do what I need to do first. Earn money, stable income, stable life ready. Then when I have everything in place, only I come to serve you. Pin drop silence. Only I come to serve you. But church, God is not waiting for you to sort out your life, then only come and serve Him. God can use you to serve Him in the way that you are right now. No matter your situations or your circumstances you are going through, like, God can still use you. You don't have to wait for stability in your life. He is your stability. Because when your trust is in the Lord, when your trust is in the Word of God says this, those who trust in the Lord, they will not be put to shame. They will receive double honor. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean under your own understanding. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 6. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will direct your path. He will direct your path if you trust in the Lord. So church, can I encourage you, no matter what storms in life that you're going through right now, there always will be a good enough reason for us to put our hands in the plow and serve the Lord. Can I have the worship team? Here are 4 points for you on what we can do and how we can rebuild our lives on the solid rock. Very short point. Some of us, we need to start rebuilding our lives on a solid rock. And some of us don't even realize that we need to rebuild our life because we come to church every single week thinking that that is what I need to do. I don't have to rebuild my life. It's okay, my life is going well. But church, God is not just asking you to just come to church and just be sitting here, warming up the chair and then go home. No, that's not your purpose. Your purpose is greater than that. He wants to use you. He wants you to serve the church and the body of Christ. He wants to use your gift to minister to one another. We, every single one of us, have a greater purpose. Number one, how can we build our lives upon the solid rock? Let's start by repenting. Let's start by repenting. Acknowledge that we need God in our lives. Some of us think that we just come to church, you know, on a Sunday, then from Monday to Friday, we don't need God. Church, can I encourage you, come back to the place and say, Lord, forgive me for I have thoughts like that. Because in every single moment, in every single minute of my life, I need you. I can't live without you. I need you to move in my life. Ask the Lord for forgiveness. Because church, remember, it is not that guilt and condemnation that pulls you to repentance. It is always the kindness and the goodness of the Lord that leads you to repentance. Number two, you can play, bro. Number two, engage. Come back to the place of relationship with the Lord. Engage with Him in your secret place. Engage with Him whenever you're working or when you're studying. Talk to the Lord. When you engage your spirit with His spirit, that is where the will of God crosses your will. That's how you can build your life on a solid rock. Engage with Him. Number three, surrender. once you have engaged with Him, surrender once again your life and your heart back to Jesus. Make Him once again your Lord and your Savior. And I want to emphasize on this. Many of us, we are very good in making Him our Savior. But when it comes to the Lordship of God over our lives, we sometimes realize that actually, you are still taking control of your life and not Him. Make Him the Lord and Savior once again in your life. Allow Him to take Lordship over your life once again. Make Him the first place, church. Make Him your priority. And lastly, number four, trust. Everybody say trust. God's plan for our lives is always a good plan. And we need to learn to trust in Him according to His word. Because in His word, there are promises of God for His children. And when we read His word, then only we can learn how we can build our lives upon the rock. We need to go through it. We need to read it. Sometimes it may feel boring. And I know how boring it can be sometimes. But whether you understand it or don't understand it, church, the word of God is living and is active. Sometimes we don't understand when we read the word of God. It doesn't matter. Continue reading it. Let the word of God read you then. Let the word of God read you then. Let the word of God start speaking life into you then. That's how you can read the word of God. Engage with Him through worship. Engage with Him through prayer. Engage with Him through the reading of the word. And then you can start building your life on the solid rock. And when you do all this, repent, engage, surrender, and trust, you will find yourself in a position of R-E-S-T. You'll find yourself in a position of rest, that no matter whether the rain fall, the winds blow, the flood comes, the storm may hit you, but you will still be standing strong. You, the church of God, will still be standing strong because you have placed your feet on a firm foundation, on an unshakable foundation, on the solid rock. He says, I will build my church upon the solid rock. So this evening, church, let Him start building your lives on the solid rock. Can we all stand to our feet? I'm done with what I need to share today. And after this, Pastor Rajan is going to serve communion. But just right before that, church, if this message is speaking to you, if this message is causing a stir inside of you, I want you to respond to the message of God, because I don't want you to just be hearers of the word of God and after that have delayed obedience. No. We need to be the hearers of the word of God and also be the doers of the word of God. We need to have immediate obedience. When God is stirring something inside of you, that is the moment that we need to respond to God. So every head bow, every eyes closed. If the Lord is stirring something inside of you right now, I want you to respond to God. If you know that you are standing in this place, that God is asking you to rebuild your life once again on the solid rock, I want you to respond to Him. I want you to answer Him. I want you to answer that invitation that the Lord is extending to you and say, God, I need you in my life. God, I want to build my life on the solid rock once again. I don't want to build my life on the shaky foundation, but I want to start building my life on you, Lord Jesus. Come on, all across His face. Come on, just talk to God. Just take the next few seconds and talk to God. Just talk to God. Just talk to God and connect with Him. If you feel like you need to repent, make an altar right in front of you and say, Lord, I'm coming back to you. Lord, I'm coming back to you, Lord. I need you, Jesus. I need your move, Lord. I need your one touch, God. I need your face, God. I need to see you more, Lord Jesus. Come on, make that connection, make that altar right in front of you. Make that connection, make that altar right in front of you. I believe that the Lord is moving right now, the Holy Spirit is moving right now. He's speaking to some of you right now. Let Him speak, let Him move. And all you have to do is to answer Him and take that boldness, that step of faith, and to do what the Lord has called you to do. Amen.